words in my mouth. Is this on?
No.
May the words of
my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be forever acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my rock. I love Easter. I always have. Partially, it's because it falls in this really interesting time of year. Perhaps the end of winter, perhaps the beginning of spring. It's kind of an ambiguous time, especially here in Jackson Hole. We never quite know whether we'll wake up on Easter morning to a snowstorm or to green grass and daffodils, or maybe to both. But what we do know is that we will wake up to somebody shouting, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," and that we will shout back, "The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia." The exclamation points are not in the bulletin and they're not in the Book of Common Prayer, but I take the liberty of adding them myself. Because after the stories of pain and suffering and sitting with death through Holy Week, on Easter morning, we announce that with joy that resurrection trumps crucifixion, that life triumphs over death, that the powers and principalities of this world cannot squash the Spirit, and that God so loves the world that God sent God's Son to live, so that even in the midst of death, we may follow and live also. That is the good news. And we celebrate Easter in the Episcopal Church for 50 days, not just for one Sunday. It takes a certain amount of discipline to celebrate for 50 days. I don't even know if it's possible. It could get really tiring. So how will you remind yourself, how will we remind ourselves every day between now and Pentecost that He is risen and that we too are called to live the risen life? You know what my second favorite Sunday of the year is? It's today, the second Sunday of Easter. Today, because every year on the Sunday after Easter, we get to hear the gospel story of Thomas the twin. You may know him by his more common and less accurate name, Doubting Thomas. I mean, Thomas has clearly gotten a bad rap, I think. Sure, he starts out by saying, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." But he ends up saying, "My Lord and my God," and there is an exclamation point there. This is my second favorite Sunday because Thomas's story is my story. And I'm guessing it may be a lot of yours stories too, and don't we all love to hear our own stories told? Thomas the twin comes off at first as this very pragmatic and clear-sighted guy. Doubting, I guess, but it seems to me that he just had a healthy measure of skepticism. Don't forget, as the story opens, he and all the other disciples, for that matter, don't know the rest of the story like we do. All they know for sure was that Jesus had been executed, and for all they knew, they might be next in line for the cross, just for being his followers. So the disciples were locked in a room on the night of the resurrection because they were afraid. Fear can do that. It can drive us together. Something in us tells us that there is safety in numbers. But what makes this even more interesting is that before this, on the morning of the resurrection, Peter and another disciple had already seen the empty tomb, and Mary Magdalene had already seen the risen Christ and had told the disciples that she had seen him and that he had told her to tell them that he was up and about to ascend. So they had heard the good news, and yet they were locked in a room, afraid. They had heard about the resurrection, but they had not yet experienced the risen Christ. And then there he was, saying, "Peace be with you." And a second time, "Peace be with you." And he breathed on them just as God had breathed life and spirit into creation. He breathed life and spirit into them and sent them out. So what happened on Easter night was just as important, I believe, and just as miraculous as what had happened on Easter morning. That night, a group of people who had heard about the resurrection, but were still living in the crucifixion, still living in fear, experienced God's love, embodied in Jesus once again, as the Word made flesh for a second time, once at birth and once at his resurrection. And they were given the Spirit once again, and their lives were changed forever. Ah, but Thomas. Thomas wasn't there that night. We don't know why. Maybe he wasn't afraid, so he didn't feel the need to be locked away. Or maybe he was so afraid that he didn't want to even be with the others. He just wanted to be alone. Fear can do that to us sometimes. It can isolate us. But a week later, on the Sunday after Easter, he showed up in the room with the rest of them, just as he shows up in our reading today. Here's where my story, and maybe some of your stories, intersect with the gospel story. Because I saw myself as this very clear-sighted and pragmatic guy before I came to faith. My reasonable mind got in the way of my heart, and for the longest time, I could not give myself over to faith. I needed some sort of proof, but I couldn't find it. Not in the world, or not even in other faithful people's stories of how they came to experience new life in God's love. Because I learned all of that, I heard all of that secondhand. I mean, I wanted a direct experience myself, or I was not about to make what felt like an irrational leap of faith. And it's also not an exaggeration to say that I was alone and afraid, even though you couldn't probably tell it from the outside. I've always put up a pretty good front. Of course, what I wanted was a mystical experience, right? I'd heard people talk about that bright light, burning bush, knocked down on the road to Damascus, undeniable experience of the presence of God. Never got it. And I heard people describe being washed over by the Spirit as the disciples were, and knowing for certain what they had been called to do. Never got that either. Just like Thomas never got that either. Not exactly. Not according to the story we have from John. Here's what Thomas got. Thomas got to see and feel Jesus' scarred, punctured, resurrected body. And here's what I got when I came to St. John's, skeptical but thirsty. I got to see and feel and be part of the scarred and punctured and resurrected body of Christ, which is you all. And somehow, miraculously, I fit right in. And I felt the presence of God through you all. Could Thomas's rational, clear-sighted mind, which said, "No, I will not believe unless," could his mind grasp what his body was telling him as he put his hand into Jesus' side? Maybe. Maybe he thought it all out and came to a rational decision. But here's how he responded to touching and being touched. He cried out, "My Lord and my God." To me, that doesn't sound like a rational response. It sounds like a shout that comes straight from the heart. It sounds like an Easter shout, which, being the good Episcopalian that I am, the good Episcopalians that we all are, might feel a little, I don't know, exuberant, perhaps? Maybe a little embarrassing? Let's try to get over that. Sure, I think many, if not most of us, are here in this church at this time because we like the fact that we're not subjected to some rigid dogma or shamed into following some set of rules for fear of going to hell, but we're here because we are allowed to think for ourselves and we are allowed to worship in the way that suits us, and somehow we do this all together every Sunday. Now, we may be a little bit cerebral about our love-spreading difference-making in the world. We tend to think it all out. We have plans, and that's a good thing. We get a lot done. We do what we do exceptionally well. But I wonder if we could follow Thomas's lead here and do it a little differently, at least for the rest of this Easter season. I wonder if we could come back to our bodies, to our hearts, and out of our heads for a little while as winter turns into mud season, turns into beautiful, vibrant spring, and then into early summer. It's a great time for a little more exuberance. Granted, we aren't going to get to put our hands into Jesus' side, not literally, but we are surrounded by the body of Christ at St. John's, and we are surrounded by the body of Christ in the world because we're all here in this together. And I don't mean just at St. John's. I really do mean in the world. We are the scarred and broken and resurrected body of Christ. I have faith that if we can give our hearts and our hands to one another and not let our supposed clear-sighted self-interest get in our way, well, I think then our joy may be complete. And I have faith that that is what salvation might look like. Amen.